Are you all having a good morning?
Oh, yes.
Good. Are you enjoying everything that our kids have prepared for us? That is so good. It's good to know. Well, we've come to that point in our morning where somebody just likes to come and share something from the Word of God. And that lucky person is me this morning. So, I know. I've done it now twice. This is the third time. This last year was the debut. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so my question to you this morning is, has anybody ever been hopelessly lost? Like when you're on a journey and you're hopelessly lost, a few people putting their hands up. Yes, me and Liz, an air high five there, just for being hopelessly lost. Okay, now I'm going to tell you very, very quickly a little story about when I was about 18, 19, I was at university and I was on my way to a Christian Union weekend away. So we called it a house party weekend. And I decided that I was going to take my car. I was going to be a big, brave girl, and I was going to drive myself and my friend to the house party. And we were all really excited. And, you know, it was about November time, so the nights got a bit darker, a little bit earlier. And we set off after our lectures. We set off driving from York, and we're going to somewhere a bit further up north into the North Yorkshire sort of area. And or more northern, I should say. And as we were driving along, we start to realise, I think we might have taken the wrong turn, a little bit lost. I said, Emma, have you got a torch on your phone? Yeah, come on, let's have a read. What I didn't realise was, you know, when you used to do an AA route planner, finder, and it used to say like 16 miles, I didn't quite realise how long 16 miles was. So when it said turn left, when I thought 16 miles had gone, I turned left, but I turned too early. So what ended up happening, it was me and my friend got very, very lost. And I thought, I know, I'll ring my dad. Now, my dad used to be a courier driver. And what he used to do was he used to deliver parcels all across the country. So they'd ring him up and say, right, John, can you go and take this parcel to so-and-so or to wherever? So I thought, oh, my dad's brilliant at driving. He's really good at directions. He knows where he's going. So I thought, I'll ring my dad. Rang my dad, I'm on my way to this house party and I'm really, really lost and it's dark and I can't see anything and I'm on a country road and I just can't do it. I don't know where I am. Well, Diane, okay, tell me, where are you? Well, I don't know. And this was my actual response. I wish it was different, but it wasn't. I'm on a hill and I can see some lights. What a thing to say at that point. I said, right, okay, what I'm going to do? He said, try and find a main road. So I thought, right, okay, I'll hang up, like every good driver does. Hung up, and I carried on driving, and I eventually found myself in the little village of North Allerton. I said, Dad, I'm in North Allerton. This is where I am. Here's where I need to get to. So my dad on the other end of the phone gets his map out, and he says, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go, blah, blah, blah. I got to my house party weekend absolutely fine, a little bit later than I'd wanted, but I arrived. Now, when I called for help, my description wasn't very helpful, was it? It wasn't the right kind of thing to say to someone who is looking for help. But my dad managed to point me in the right direction and got me to where I needed to be. Now, our theme for the kids' takeover this morning is Worship Christ the King. Now, having read the Christmas story quite a few times in many Bible translations, I thought I'd be prepared. There's one big thing that stands out to me, and that is this whole theme of worship. Now, as you read through the events of the Christmas story in the Bible, from the point where Elizabeth and Zechariah are told about John by the angel Gabriel, up until the point where the wise men travel to Jesus, there are 9 different instances where people or groups of people come to a place of worship because of Jesus. There are 9 different instances where people worship because of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go through all 9 because otherwise we'd be here past Christmas and we don't want that. So I'm going to pick 2 this morning. And the first group who worship that I want to highlight are the shepherds. And here's what the Passion Translation has to say. It's entitled An Angelic Encounter. That night, in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared at the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men." When the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go, let's hurry, let's find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So when they ran into the village, they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had seen and heard for themselves, just like the angels had said. So quite simply, the shepherds are in a field. They're doing their job. They're watching over their sheep, protecting them. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel appears, gives them this amazing news, and then a whole host of heavenly angels. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being sat in that field and be like, ah, be like, you know, how exciting that all these angels have turned up to share this amazing news. And here's what I notice about how the shepherds reach this place of worship. And that is, they are told exactly where to go and exactly what they will find. The angels come and they give them a clear set of directions. In the message, the same passage says this: the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A saviour has just been born in David's town, a saviour who is Messiah and Master. This is what you are to look for: a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." They're told exactly what to look for. There's no hidden diversions, no set of side missions, no stopping for a Starbucks or a Greggs on the way. They head straight for Bethlehem and they find exactly what they are told about, much to their excitement. And after seeing Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they return to their field. And as they do so, they don't do it quietly. The Bible says that they praised and worshipped God for the things they'd seen and heard. And do you know what? Here's what some of the different translations say about how they returned. The Passion says they praised God and glorified him for all they had seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. The NIV says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen. The Message, they think this is my favourite one: the sheep heard us. I love that phrase. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. The Voice says, the shepherds returned to their flock, praising God for all they had seen and heard, and glorified for the way the experience had unfolded. Are you getting it this morning, church? Are you excited by this news? They didn't go back quietly. They returned with shouts of praise, shouts of joy. They were ecstatic about what they'd seen, and the directions that the angels had given them brought them to that place where they couldn't do anything but praise and worship. Yeah. Everybody still with me? Yeah. Excellent. Okay, group number two. Everybody say group number two. Excellent. We are still there. The second group that I want to highlight are the wise men. Okay. And here's what Matthew chapter 2 has to say about them. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory — this was during Herod's kingship — a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." And then we've got the part where Herod, you know, pretends to be on board with their plan to go and worship them when really he's not. Okay. And after that whole bit goes on, it says this: instructed by the king, the wise men set off. The star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. They opened their luggage and presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then the Passion says this: as they left on their way to Bethlehem, suddenly they came and had seen the star in the east had reappeared. Amazed, they watched as it went ahead of them and stopped directly over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they were overcome. Falling to the ground at his feet, they worshipped him. So unlike the shepherds, the wise men aren't given any specific directions about where to find what they're looking for. They know they're looking for a king. We know that. And they know which village they need to be in. They know exactly where roughly they need to be. But other than being guided by a star, they're not given any clear-cut directions as to where to find this new king. And when they see the star, they have to trust that it is God who is leading them to the right place. I don't know about you, like my story from the beginning, I have to say my sense of direction has got a lot better. I am a much better person with directions now. But it's something that I have to work quite hard at. So if I'm on a journey and I take a wrong turn, what I have to do is I have to train my brain, I have to think really hard, use quite a bit of brain power about how to correct my mistake, and I have to think really hard about how to reset my internal compass. Okay, I've gone that way, so I need to get back that way. I find it quite incredible that the wise men just knew where they were going. They were following a star with no other guidance. Yeah, there would have been routes that people would have taken to get from place to place, but there wouldn't have been roads like we have today. There wouldn't have been signs with X number of miles to Bethlehem or wherever. There would have been trade routes that they would have known about. But the wise men were travelling to a place that they had never been to before. It was an extra special journey with no specific directions. And it was given to them through the star in the sky. That's what they were following. This sign that God had given them to direct them to the baby who was born, King of the Jews. And following the star led them to the place where Jesus was. And here's what a couple of translations of the Bible says. The voice says, as soon as the wise men arrived, they saw him with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshipped him. And the NIV says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Notice how all of these, it doesn't say they got distracted. Oh yeah, let's put the kettle on. Let's have a chat first. They didn't hesitate. They arrived with certainty. They walked into the house and the first thing that they did was worship. They worshipped before they gave the present. So my final thought for this morning, just the question that I want to leave us with today is this. This Christmas, what direction are you following? Or what direction are you being led in? Are you being led to a place where you can worship Jesus? Christmas seems to be a time just full of busyness and presents and travelling and making plans. And you know, it's really good that we make time, family and all those things. But are you intentionally coming to that place where you can worship Christ our King? Is your heart moving in the right direction this morning to being filled with worship for who he is and the fact that God sent his son for us at Christmas time? Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14 in the Message says this: when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious, are you serious this morning, church? When you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, do you want it more than anything else this morning, church? I will make sure that you won't be disappointed. And this is God's decree. And in a moment, we're going to give some time for you to intentionally look for Jesus this morning, just like the shepherds and the wise men. And the young kids are going to come up and they're going to sing a song for us just in a minute. And I just want to encourage you that whilst they're singing, whilst they are leading us in this song, that you allow your heart to be filled with worship for Jesus. Maybe this morning you don't know this Jesus who we've been talking and singing about. And if that's the case, then my prayer is that as the children sing, you'll allow your heart to be redirected this morning, that you'll begin to be filled with worship because of the news that was given to the shepherds all those years ago, that Jesus came at Christmas time for every single one of us. That word still stands true today. And maybe you just need to take some time out of the busyness. Maybe this Christmas season, you just need to reset your internal compass and set yourself back on the journey with Jesus again. And if that's the case, then why not take some time as our kids sing to us to allow your heart to be set right and full of worship for him. So this Christmas, let's not lose the sense of wonder that the Christmas story brings, the sense of direction that the story brings to show that Jesus is the way. And let's not forget about worshipping Christ the King. Each of you have been able to make your nativity stars this morning as part of our craft time. Why not stick that somewhere prominent in your house when you get home? Somewhere as a reminder this Christmas to be led to that place of worship. Now, I'm going to pray for us just as our kids really quietly, neon kids quietly enter the stage just whilst I pray before they sing a song for us. Father God, I thank you that you came for us at Christmas time. And Lord God, I pray, just as the shepherds and the wise men were led to that place of worship, Father God, I pray that we in turn would be led to that place of worship for you, that our hearts would be full of praise and wonder and just be amazed by the glory that you showed at Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.